True or false, Matt? Suella Braverman has stated she's British, not English. True or false?
True.
You think that's likely?
Yeah. I think she's trying to stir the pot a little bit there.
It was Konstantin Kishin last week that we brought up on the roast that came out and said it and just couldn't get his head around it. To which I'm like, what are you saying about all those players from minority backgrounds that played in the England teams? All of them. What the f*** are you saying? What does it mean? And then, as you pointed out last week, Madge, most of us can go back several generations and find we're not connected to England. Like, the royal family, for fuck's sake, are German. Mm. Madge, true or false?
I'll go true.
So, Matt, true?
Yeah.
And Madge, true. Correct. Both of you.
I was going to go false, but then I heard your reasoning and I was like, okay.
Shit, gave it away.
I was like, it's a very good answer, to be fair, because just thinking about it, it's something she would say to ingratiate herself to racists.
What is up with that? It's like that painting of Apollo eating their children. Sort of in reverse. They create these children that are eventually going to eat them.
Yeah, some people, the more you reject them, the more they want to be your friend, it seems. And she wants to be friends with racists. So I think she wants a merger between the Tories and Reform Party. Oh, I think her husband joined the Reform Party, so I think that's what she wants.
Your husband already joined them, hasn't he? Yeah, so.
Has he?
Yeah. Last year.
We could talk about him and Romanians, and, you know, he basically says you can't trust any Romanians that move in next door to you. I don't know what to make of that. I don't know what they're really saying about all those people that have, like, put blood, sweat, and tears into the England campaigns in all of our sports when they're saying you're not English.
Oh, they'll be English when they've won something. That's probably what they'll say.
I mean, she was born in London, right? She was born in Harrow. So, I don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's going to be in the Reform Party. I'm telling you now.
She'll defect and just.
I don't think she'll defect. She wants a merger. I think that's what she wants.
Okay. Question two, Madge. Czechs have increased on the Irish sea border this week.
That's true.
Straight away, Matt.
Well, he sounds confident. Yeah, true for me as well.
It is true.
Yeah, I saw it today in an article. Yeah.
Brexit is definitely winning, isn't it?
Yeah, so to do with rest of the world goods coming in via Northern Ireland, it was going to happen eventually, but the unionists won't be happy, I'm sure.
No, of course not, but people in power can shit.
The more that it goes, the more that we get pushed towards Europe because of what Trump's doing. You know, it's becoming our safe space, isn't it, really? And now you're having, I call them the tripod of truth. You know, you had the French Macron going to see Trump and correcting him in front of his face. Which is wonderful. Merz obviously is now the German Chancellor, and he's spoken about, yes, we need to beef up paying to Ukraine. And Germany is the second highest country to give financial aid to Ukraine behind America. So, you know, that's something. That really is something. And obviously Starmer's doing it as well. So,
number three. Trump has brought in a golden visa application. Chuck in 5 million, you get visa plus, green card plus credentials. So you get put through quicker. And as it happens, Assad has actually put in an application, the dictator of Syria. True or false, Matt?
Everything about that said true to me. How much were they asking again?
$5 million.
That makes a difference. Otherwise, I was going to go for it, you know. True.
Madge?
No, false.
It is false. Madge, you take the lead, 3-2.
Let's go.
Finally. Dominic Cummings has been found on the flight logs list today. True or false? Madge.
This one feels unfair. I'm going to go false.
Why unfair?
Because I've already looked at the list. If he's on the list, I'll be very...
missed it.
I could have done. Yeah. I'll go false.
Do you think it's not likely? Do you think Epstein didn't rate him as a high enough character?
Well, he's only recently, you know, the last decade he's gotten any popularity, so I'd imagine it's false.
I think it's false. Matt? You think Dominic Cummings
went to the trip? I've got to go true, haven't I? Otherwise, I'm going to lose it either way. So I'm going to say
been baited.
But I understand he was only going there to test his eyesight. Is that right?
There must be a castle on the island.
There you go.
He said, hey, this ain't Barnard Castle. Well, my eyes are fucked.
Took his wife and child?
No. Oh.
Fuck him. Fuck him after today. Fuck him. It's false. But fuck him. I really fucking hate him now. Like,
by the way, when you sent that thing about the, and I don't know if we're going to talk about that now, that business about the fact that he racially abused Femi on Twitter.
Shall we segue that in and start the show?
Yeah, well, that's a good way to get into the first topic, I guess.
Matt, welcome back. You're definitely becoming a regular fixture on here. Matt, what were your
third time
to charm?
Yeah.
Can you introduce yourself?
Okay, my name is Matt Johnston. I host a show called The Interesting Times. It is a comedy show. I have to put that out there, apparently, otherwise people might not know.
Do you live in interesting times? I've got to believe. I'm going to be saying that. Yeah. Madge?
Yeah, I'm Madge. I run the Big Madge Studios YouTube channel where we cover interesting topics in these interesting times. And sometimes I'm on the show with Alex.
So, Dominic Cummings started spouting full on racist bullshit at Femi today. Matt, you were going to say, as we said just before we got into the intro,
when you sent that message through, and I checked up on it, I understand Femi's done a video on it as well. Basically, he's racially abused Femi simply for Femi having an opinion, which is absolutely disgusting. It's not that much of a surprise. I think I remember seeing that Dominic Cummings co-authored something on eugenics. He's a big believer in eugenics. I think I remember seeing that. So depressing, but not surprising, unfortunately.
Have you seen his wife's dad's video where he talks about eugenics?
No.
Oh, it's fucking creepy.
In general, to be elitist, I think the quality climbs up the tree of life. And therefore, in general, high things in the tree of life have quality and have skills, and they get wonderful degrees at university. And if they marry each other, that gets them better again.
So you wouldn't have minded if one of your children had met someone from a lower socio-economic group who was intelligent and talented and...
Intelligence and talent is lovely, but I want parents and grandparents who've had hands-on success running their battles well and proving they're wonderful, because one is the subject of one's genes, and I think I like the idea of them being successful genes and winning through to successful puppies.
Some things haven't been in genes, though, have they? Like, there's been some outstanding people and geniuses who've been, like, first generation.
No, they aren't. Very few first generation geniuses.
And very few, but there's still few.
Like which? Of course there are.
You're saying the very few. But
normally, because you think of Bertrand Russell, for instance. Okay. Ancient family Dukes of Bedford.
So the guy looks like, I was about to say Epstein, he looks like Cummings. Like, it looks very similar. So they're like, you know, okay, weird daddy issues. And then he starts talking. He's got this plum accent. And essentially he's trying to convince these people on a TV show, I think it is, or students, that it's important for him that his daughter marry someone who isn't just intelligent in their own right, but that it goes back several generations of success, to then show that actually there's a genetic trait that's coming through.
There's a certain point there of inbreeding from what you're saying, isn't there? You know?
Royal family?
Yeah, you know, because you've got the dad that looks like the son. It's just like, oh, pick him. It's like, no, that's, wow, no.
Madge?
Yeah, what? Like, okay, let's go back to Dominic Cummings. Like, you know, it's clear kind of racial abuse towards Femi. You know, talking about rejoin maniacs. Maybe he'd be their TV champion and do for them what he did for the second referendum campaign. And then he quotes, I'm assuming it's Kendrick Lamar saying, don't tell no lie about me and I won't tell truths about you. And I say, for the record, I think Kendrick would probably hate you, Dominic Cummings. Like, you're a massive scumbag, you know, not like us for sure. But yeah, you know, him racially abusing someone, a black person, and then using words from a black person to insult them further is just ridiculous. But yeah, he's an idiot. Like, I'd love to see these two debate, honestly, because Cummings would have nothing. Like, this is a guy who spent taxpayers' money on the wrong satellites, a guy who very much saw himself as, you know, what's his name? Who was the guy who got us into the Blair Spin Doctor? Who was that?
Alistair Campbell?
Yeah, that's it, Campbell. He wants to be, you know, Alistair Campbell. He got kicked out by the Prime Minister's wife. Embarrassing. He briefed against the PM's wife and was like, oh, he's going to take my side, right?
I gotta be honest, it was quite funny reading about how the dog pissed on his bag. It fucking set him off. And you're a bit like, yeah, that would piss off quite a few people,
to be fair.
And that seemed to be the thing that broke, the straw that broke the camel's back, as the saying goes.
To put some respect on his name, yeah, he is the guy who basically helped destroy the Tory party. So, yeah, thanks for that, pal. Other than that, your legacy is going to be you're one of the guys who helped destroy the country. And the fact that he was alleged to have given, the Americans, information about saying how Elon about the Jimmy Savile slurs against Starmer, like he's a disgusting individual. Like, you know, this guy is a complete scumbag, and he's got nothing. Honestly, like Femi could torch him pretty easily. Because what's he going to do? Stand on Brexit? It's failed. Stand on the Tory party? It failed. He got kicked out. You know, Dominic Cummings really has no good legacy to stand on here. Going after Femi when, you know, Cummings, who's going to put him on TV? His biggest moments were going, you know, endangering motorists by going to Barnard Castle because his eyesight was bad, apparently. And, you know, getting kicked out by Boris Johnson. That's it.
I mean, the thing is, this should be enough to somebody sending a tweet like that should be enough for any regular person to get fired from their job. But the one problem with this, of course, is nobody knows what Dominic Cummings does. So what are we supposed to fire him from? You know,
I thought it was quite interesting when you brought up about the slurs with Jimmy Savile and Keir Starmer, where there is little to no connection, but there's a huge connection in the royal family, which they won't talk about. They won't talk about that. Funny that, isn't it? You know, we've got the Epstein files coming out. Andrew's back on the flight log list again.
He's number three on the list.
Police won't investigate him. The country's a fucking joke. I'm in a fucking mood right now after Femi, the flight logs, Epstein, Cummings. Because I just keep looking at all of this and just go, hey, you were talking about reform and that people want to vote reform. This is literally the party. They brought Brexit. It's shit. Everyone knows it. And yet 25% of the population go, oh, yeah, that sounds great. We'll go and fucking vote for that. And then you hear these arguments on Twitter, these really fucking stupid arguments where they're essentially saying, yeah, but they didn't do it right. We didn't have a right Brexiteer. It's like, he had fucking Boris Johnson. He led it. He fucking led it. What do you
voted
mean?
For him. They voted for the guy. Like, if he wasn't the guy to do it, they still elected him to do it. If they didn't believe he would do it properly, that's on them. Like, they got what they wanted at the end of the day.
Well, you only got two choices. You either go complete free trade, and then you could open, then it solves the border on Ireland and Gibraltar. But that's the EU agreeing to that. Or you have a hard border. Or you've got this quasi-state where we're just in, we're nowhere. We're in fucking limbo.
All the Brexiteers who are sitting there kind of talking about, you know, oh, yeah, we Brexited. We'll go and make an agreement with America now. And they're all sort of turning around and kind of going, because I watch, unfortunately, for my channel, I have to watch a lot of GB news and stuff and soak that up. You find yourself, you know, and shaking your fist and what have you at the screen. But they're all turning around now and going, oh, we don't want to upset Trump. We don't want to upset Trump. You're sitting around and think, really? We are the 51st state.
We're under control by his tariffs, like fully under fucking control. And that's why they're all being... You know, they've got no, I'm sure I want to say a number of words and none of them feel appropriate. They're like, none of them have any courage whatsoever to deal with him. None. Because they know he'll just go, oh, I've got to put 25% tariffs up. And then we're fucked. We're actually fucked. And this is the thing that a lot of us were warning. You leave the EU. Okay. Well, now you're a fucking tea bag in an ocean instead of being, you know, a tea bag in a cup of tea. And I'm just looking at this and going, I don't see any benefits. And it's wild that these people are going towards Trump and bowing towards him. He's on the Epstein list again. He's on video with Epstein. He's being charged with sexual assault. And they're going, top bloke. Fucking top bloke. Yeah, that's the type of person I want. Fucking Boris Johnson even said, there's another story I'm going to bring in, that he'd allow his kids with Donald Trump. He's on record and saying that on TV when he was getting hammered during the elections by Mateless.
Emerson. Stormy Daniels asked him, didn't she? Would you leave your daughter with Donald Trump? He's like, yes, okay.
But would you leave your daughter alone with Donald Trump?
Look, I mean,
but the whole reason I asked the question,
I don't see why not. All I can say to you is that my experience of Donald.
So
Trump,
you would.
Yes. And my experience of Donald Trump is that when I've known him, and, you know, I hear what you're saying. Maybe I'm wrong, but he has been courteous, he has been polite, and...
He denied an election that he lost.
I'm giving
What does it matter if he's courteous, if he can't accept the results of democracy and the American voter?
And you know, you've heard several people, including me, say that they think that was a terrible thing to do.
He's at this level of denial, Johnson. I've been doing a couple of clips, and again on my video, and he starts off going, oh, you should listen to what Trump has to say. Listen to what... And we're sitting there going, We've listened to what Trump has to say. He's called Zelensky a dictator. He's talked about sort of like not backing them and things like that. And they should have elections and that they started the war. And then the next week he comes on saying, all right, well, he did say this, but I'm sure he didn't mean it. I'm sure he's got a plan. And you're sitting there going, you are backing the wrong horse here. You really, really are.
Donald Trump did pull back from calling Zelensky a dictator today as well. He goes, oh, you know, I didn't say that. And it was like, you know, and then someone said you did. It's like, oh, I didn't mean it.
A dictator without elections. Zelensky better move fast or he's not going to have a country left.
Zelensky is a dictator.
Did I say that? I can't believe I said that. Next question.
And so it's like, okay, what, you know, when you say, oh, we're going to come up with agreements with different countries, do you mean it or not? Like, especially when he's a guy who breaks agreements that are on paper, you know, he's threatening Canada and Mexico with tariffs, breaking NAFTA, or sorry, the TPP, his own agreement. So, you know, he's a guy who can't be trusted, like genuinely can't.
Did you ever watch the Daily Beast reporting on it? This is about him being trusted. This does link to you, Matt. Did you ever see the Daily Beast report where they supposedly had Michael Wolff, the reporter, interview Epstein? I don't know if it was on Hidden Mic or not. That's the only thing I'm unsure of. But it's a conversation between the two. And Epstein goes into detail about Donald Trump's sexual preferences. And Epstein claimed that what Donald Trump liked to do is fuck his best friend's wives and cuck them and sort of get the trust of the friend and then convince them to allow him to sleep with their wife.
Horrible human being. Inject himself. He does nasty things to his best friend's wives. Anyone who first tries to gain the trust and then uses it to do bad things. That's how it goes.
I only found that out today when I was doing research for the program. And I'm like, what the fuck? I've never heard that before. Go on.
Can I say, that's actually probably the nicest thing I've heard about Donald Trump. I don't know what that says about the whole thing. I'm sitting there going, I was expecting a lot worse than that. You know, there's a clip, right? He's on some show with his daughter and he's saying, and they're talking and stuff. And you know, have you seen it where he talks about, if she wasn't my daughter, I'd be dating her.
If Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her. You know?
Stop it! So weird. Stop.
You know
it.
What? You are sick.
Yeah. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. Well, you're known for saying outrageous.
Who says that?
Yeah.
What? Oh, and he said, oh, we've also got that in common, sex. We've also got sex in common. It's just like, mate, no way. Oh, no.
And then he gets slapped by the presenter who does say what I said. Stop saying that. That's really weird.
Yes.
That's really weird. Why would you say that? Why would you think that? Makes you wonder what's going on in his childhood, because most of it comes from there.
Yeah.
Most of that weird stuff comes from there. And you're hearing about this cucking. And it, to be clear, Epstein is claiming that it's blackmail. He's blackmailing his friends to be able to sleep with their wives. And you're going, that's not the worst thing we heard about Trump.
Yeah, I'll be honest. That sort of, you know, killed a man to watch him die. Is that sort of the level I was thinking that we were at, you know? But yeah.
He's on the flight logs, to be fair. So, I mean, that's confirmed. So, that's arguably worse than
the rumor stuff. Sorry, Madge.
No, I'm just going to say that's arguably worse than what you said. So, him being on the flight logs is, not great.
The other allegation, it's funny you bring up the flight logs, is that Trump slept with Melania for the first time on the Lolita Express. And that's an allegation. So, there's nothing necessary to prove that, but that is the claim.
Yeah, she would have been off age, though. Like, it wouldn't have been like the other, like the actual Epstein allegations where you're talking about minors.
No, it wouldn't. But you're a bit like, he's on the flight.
Yeah.
Now we can prove it. His name's popped up again. What else was he doing?
That's the real question. With all these people on this list, right, that we can see, the question is, because he, you know, the idea is he used the island for business reasons as well as, you know, for blackmail reasons and things like that, right? So the question is, what are most of these people on this list doing? And, you know, like you've got former President Bill Clinton on there. You've got a load of people who I've never heard of in my life. You've got DiCaprio on here as well. Like, what business dealings do you have with him? You're an actor. Like, you know, what is he going to get you in a movie? You know, did you need him to get you in Shutter Island or something? You know, what's going on with that? Titanic, you know, Al Gore's on here. What kind of deals is Al Gore doing? A lot of these people, I have no idea who they are.
There's a director, former director of the FBI.
Yeah.
Which is Nick Frey.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Die Hard himself on the list as well. And just like, What were you there for? Like, especially when people knew this man had allegations on him. I mean, he went to jail, I think, in the 2000s. Let's not forget actually Prince Andrew as well. He's on the list. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I forgot about him. And it's like, what business dealings do you have with him? You're a prince. You're set for life. What's he sorting you out with?
Did you ever see the clip of, just to continue that, did you ever see the clip of Senator McCain's wife who came out and said, we all knew what was going on the island?
He was hiding in plain sight. We all knew about him. We all knew what he was doing. But we had no one that was, legal aspect that would go after him. They were afraid of him. For whatever reason, they were afraid of him.
Yeah. It's like the Diddy stuff. People knew. People knew what was going on. No one said anything. It's very public, some of the stuff that's going on. A lot of those Hollywood people would have known what was going on. No one said anything. It's a secret they all keep. The same thing with what's his name, Weinstein or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
The same thing. People knew him. People knew what he was doing. There's a whole joke about how Matt Damon knew all of this stuff. He knew all of these guys who were doing all this stuff, never said anything. That's what I mean. Like, a lot of these people, they know what's going on, but they'll never speak about it.
I know Brad Pitt threatened him.
Big dog.
Made a move on Gwyneth Paltrow.
The essence of the Gwyneth story is not just about the fact that she says he ended a business meeting at the Peninsula Hotel in Beverly Hills by placing hands on her and saying, let's finish this in the bedroom. The point is, she had been cast in the movie Emma, which was a star-making role. It was a great part, but it hadn't been filmed yet. And after Brad Pitt, her boyfriend at the time, confronted Weinstein, Weinstein called Gwyneth, according to her, and said, you're going to ruin everything. You're going to screw up your whole career. And she thought she was going to be fired.
No, we just know that it was a threat. We don't know if we knew more or we heard rumor.
Another actor threatened to knock him out, but I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Brad Pitt, but somebody else did. You imagine there was a fair bit of that going on as well, because, Jesus.
That's what I mean. Like, these industries, like, it's very secretive. Is the Kendrick Lamar song, I watched the party die. That's what it's like with certain groups of like this stuff, because they all know it's happening, but no one's going to say anything because no one wants to hurt their own career. They don't want to get blacklisted.
Are you surprised about Cummings saying what he said?
No, the guy's a moron. Like I said, like, he thinks he's a lot smarter than he is.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, he thinks he's a genius. He got Brexit over the line, even though really it was Nigel Farage. Like, Farage played a much bigger part in Brexit than Dominic Cummings ever did. You know, fair enough. He got Boris Johnson that win in 2019. That was something. He was in he had a generational candidate and was against someone who was deeply hated in Jeremy Corbyn. You had the Lib Dems were completely clueless under Joe Swinson. So pretty easy run, I'd argue, in that race. And then the guy was so stupid, he briefed against the Prime Minister's wife. He's newly, newly married. And you think he's going to turn on in, like, the space of a year? Like, come on, G. And so, like, I don't think he's as smart as he thinks he is. He wants to be, like I said, I forgot his name again.
Mr. Campbell.
Yeah, he wants to be like that. You know, he's calling the shots. That's who he wants to be like. And Alistair Campbell lasted a lot longer than he did. And Campbell, even now, successful podcaster, has really good takes most of the time. And even Rory Stewart is more politically relevant than Cummings is now. You know, the only reason we're talking about him is because he racially abused someone on Twitter. Like, that's a bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's as far as he's going to get, and he's just lost even more reputation by doing that. And as you said, continually shows him to be a thicko.
You are right, man. He's becoming more and more irrelevant, isn't he? It's only it's going to come a point where you're going to see him on, I don't know, some sort of one of these reality shows.
Yeah,
I'm a celebrity, and they're going to be leaving him in there. You know what I mean?
This is a guy who changed his blog to make it look like he knew more about COVID happening when he did. And it's like, okay, cool. If you knew all of this stuff, right? Why didn't you do more? I'll tell you what, though, he will be. I'll give him credit. Actually, the one funny thing he did, because I sent it to my friend and he laughed, was like all of the people in a room together. No one knew what was going on. It's like the Spider-Man meme where they're all pointing at each other, and then someone actually made the Spider-Man meme of all the politicians pointing at each other. So I'll give him that. That was the one good thing he did, because it was about 10 a.m. when I wasn't working and I was watching the select committee, and he was like, he referenced the meme, and I sent it to our friend, and about a minute later, he just sent me a laughing thing. He's like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is a circus right here. Bro's referencing Spider-Man memes to make a point. And I was like, we peaked as a society right here. This is it. It's straight down from here. And to be fair, I wasn't wrong, but that's it. His contributions to this country are the Brexit, the Conservative Party, and his best contribution the 2019 win is referencing the Spider-Man meme in a select committee, because that'll be on record forever. So that's his three biggest achievements, like nothing else.
Waste of space. Did you see?
He might well find himself going over to this. Yeah, you say going over to the States to sort of, you know, do some work over there or something. Maybe Musk will. They'll be the evil twins, won't they? Or just walking along like this everywhere.
I don't think they'll bother taking him, because I don't think he's not a big name. Do you know what I mean? Like Americans, they love big names and stuff like that in terms of advisors and things. So they love theatre. I don't think they'll take him on because, you know, fair enough, he does look like a demented Lex Luthor, but, you know, he's not got the razzmatazz that Lex Luthor has.
Are you bringing that in because Gene Hackman died?
No, I'm bringing it up because they're bald.
I thought when you were talking about the programs he could be on, Spitting Image, I will never ever, that was one of the funniest things, seeing that head squeeze in and out.
So, this is what you call a baby?
Yes.
It looks delicious. May I eat it?
Jolly good. Afraid not. Carrie would be furious.
Then I shall not do that. Instead, I shall eat some of your earth snacks.
Good aid.
Yeah, I think it's a good lesson.
Well, he's from a different planet.
Are you sure that wasn't him?
I think it's a good lesson. Don't think you're more clever than you are, because you're really not. You got two wins, that's about it, and then you were done.
Not a single prediction, right? And he's still banging on that Brexit is a good thing. He's still a good thing.
He has to, doesn't he? Because, you know, he wasn't just, he was instrumental in getting the type of Brexit that we got as well. So he has to die by on he has to die on that hill. Just don't ask him about satellites. He'll probably racially abuse me as well. But ask him why he bought the wrong satellites, like a numpty.
I mean, he can't really turn up to a job and they'll sit there and say, well, you've done quite a lot here, but I noticed between the years 2015 to 2018, there's a big gap. What were you doing then? You know, it's just like, yeah.
Speaking of Brexit and Brexiters and the Brexit Party, you aware that a Brexiter has been pulled up in court for allegedly taking bribes from a Ukrainian pro-Russian to say shit in Parliament and in the European Parliament about the joys of Brexit and leaving the EU? Were you aware of that story this week?
I've heard of it, yeah. Now it's all a bit mad, isn't it? Because you sit there and think, wait a minute, you're giving this money to the Brexit MEP. Surely that's the Brexit MEP's job. He's not going to stand up and go, God, what have we done? I mean, he should do, to be fair, but he's not going to do that. So it seems like wasted money. But yeah, the Russians sort of bribed him. It'd be interesting to see how much, you kind of get some taste on how much it costs to buy one of these Burks.
Well, politicians are cheap, aren't it? You know, we saw that with Lord Ali, you know, buying Starmer suits. They're not that expensive.
No, it seems like it. I mean, there was, Led by Donkeys did a whole list of MPs that are taking bungs, all coincidentally part of the Conservative Party. And it was done in a way that was suggesting that one of the Russian oligarchs, clearly linked to Putin, had donated to the party, set up the pro-Russian group within the Conservative Party. And it's, I guess there's a thing of, I don't think it's necessarily paying them to make those questions in the EU Parliament. It's just ensuring that there are people asking those questions in the Parliament. I think it sounds like maybe a bit of a nuance, but it's pushing everything in a direction. Of course, being the Conservative Party, they have access to the media. The media tend to listen to the Conservatives more than anyone else because they're always low tax, and our media is predominantly, what, 80% run by four people? All happen to be billionaires who live in tax.
Probably school educated, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not too surprising that they've gone, if we're bunging a couple of million there, I think it's 4 million, I think is the claim, that's gone into the Conservative Party.
Wow.
There are donations that went into the Brexit referendum that we don't know where they came from. So like the DUP got...
Oh, via Gibraltar and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's not being fully declared. Then you've got Cambridge Analytica. And that's, you know, we talk about the things that won Brexit. That was definitely one component. But if they didn't have that quarter of a million, they wouldn't have had Cambridge Analytica, which meant they wouldn't have found those extra 3 million voters who were just adrift at sea, not knowing what political party or political view to support. So, and which they were then able to target on Facebook. So I think there's like elements within all of that that says, you know, bunging in that 4 million did sort of tip it over the edge, especially when, I mean, you know, Cummings was the one that brought in Cambridge Analytica, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. I think that was part of his team, but he was a massive data nerd as well, or he is a massive data nerd, so I guess that would make sense. And I think that's one of the ways they were instrumental in getting Brexit over the line. But again, like, the guy's washed. Like, let's be honest. Like, he's not about it. You know, one of the things that is surprising about Alistair Campbell is that he still kind of kept political relevance, and some of the stuff he still says, even though I dislike him a lot, it still kind of makes sense. You know, like his whole rule about don't get a press conference unless you've got big news to announce. Dominic Cummings did that. I can't remember what he announced, and no one gave a shit. Like, you've wasted all the media's time, now that will pissy at you. Like, it's a bad idea overall. So, like I said, he's not a smooth operator. That's for sure.
So it was also interesting because we've got a Brexiter taking Russian bungs, allegedly.
Oh, sorry, that was the actual topic. Yeah, that like I said, politicians are quite cheap, and that doesn't surprise me if that's the case. I think what you want is to cement certain politicians with your ideology in there. Like, we saw the whole thing with Tim Pool and Dave Rubin taking money from Russia as well. And it wasn't just because they were spouting pro-Putin points, is to make sure, like, you know, they were available to do it. Like, they had the funding they needed. Wait, to be able to do that.
Dave Rubin that got his ass handed to him this week by Gary Stevenson?
I don't know, but Dave Rubin, the Rubin report.
Yeah,
you know, I think yeah.
What? Yeah, he was taking cash from the Russians. Allegedly.
Yeah.
We'll keep putting that Rubin, word in allegedly. So
I think with Rubin and Tim Pool, I don't think there's an allegedly in there, because it would turn out like they were being funded by Russia via someone else. Laura Chen, I think her name was. And so, you know, they took money from this group, and it turns out the guy was Russian. And, you know, Tim Pool was spouting Russian talking points. So you push these people on because they roughly believe some of the things you believe in, and you help them boost their platform. That's the thing they would be doing with this Reform UK guy. If it's proved that he took money from the Russians, you cement certain people in those positions to carry through talking points and get that stuff on record. Like, I did a video, it's going to come out soon, about that stupid head teacher who called Bridget Phillipson a Marxist. So they had to explain what Marxism actually means. And they do that because they get two things out of it. One, they get a viral clip. And the other thing is they'll quote this person in articles in order to push that nonsense. So, for example, right, if I said, oh, Vlad's my boy, he's a great guy, you get the viral clip off that. And then you can quote me saying, oh, politician says Vlad is great. So you get a twofer. So any kind of pro-Russian outlets, you can use that to quote those specific words. And it makes it look a lot more neutral. So with this dude, I wouldn't be surprised if whenever he spouted anything nonsense like that, if it was clipped up by certain articles pushing a certain agenda as well, or certain news outlets, because it's very easy to do. I only noticed it the other week with the thing about her calling Phillipson a Marxist, because then Sky News ran an article on it as well. And so that's obvious nonsense. Like, the idea that anyone in the Labour cabinet is a Marxist, complete garbage. But that's what I mean. They got the viral clip they wanted. And they got, you know, extra monetization off it, because, as I tell people, it's the news business. So they want clicks and stuff like that. So with this dude, like, the media would have made double their money covering him, I guess, in a sense. But, you know, you cement people in certain positions who can push your agenda. That's why you back any politician. They're cheap. If you're rich, if you're a millionaire, you can buy politicians for like 10K. I think certain people make, say, a 10, 15K donation to your re-election campaign, and then you can give them a bung. We saw that with Robert Jenrick. And some of the housing stuff that was happening. Politicians are very cheap. You know, the fact that Labour have delayed the leaseholder stuff as well. Why is that? Suddenly, you know, I'll tell you the best example of it. Labour took money from the water companies, and they put out analysis from the water companies about why they shouldn't be nationalised.
You're joking.
Why would you do that? No. It was covered by the Good Law Project. The Good Law Foundation, whichever one they are. Good Law Project, yeah. They had someone covering their social media, and she was talking about it, and I was like, oh shit, I didn't know that. And it's a good video. But that's what I mean, like, politicians are cheap. That's why you bribe them, especially if you think they're going to win. Like, you know, like, that's it. There's a reason why Labour aren't pushing through certain tax.
10K to a million,
it's
not.
It's chump trick. That's why all these people have newspapers. You run these newspapers at a basic loss. But if you're not getting taxes put on you, or they're not putting through more anti-money laundering or anti-tax evasion rules, you've made your money back easily. That's all it is. Politicians are investments for these people.
Did you see Stephen Flynn? Did you see what he said about the Brexit Party? I mean, Reform.
So. No, I didn't see what he said. I saw what he said to Starmer about energy costs, and Starmer's like, ha, education in Scotland, shit, mate. And I'm like, didn't really answer the question though, did you, bro? So what do you say about Reform?
Putin's poodles.
Aside from a few of Putin's poodles who are not in their seats in this chamber here.
Just a little dig in there. And of course, Lee Anderson went a bit mad over it and was like, you can't call us that. And
they can dish it out, but they can't take it, can they?
Yeah, snowflakes.
You know, I've noticed that. I did a clip on Nigel Farage turning around. He was having a go at Diane Abbott and her numbers and stuff like that. And she wasn't even in the house. And somebody brought it up. He says, oh, I'm just having a laugh. two sentences later, he gives way to this woman. She said, do you think we should get investment? You talked about investment. Do you think we should get investment from the Russian government? Do you? That sits down and he stands up and he goes, I think some people should really grow up. You know, he got really flustered with it. Yeah. It's just like,
Sarah. Thank the Honourable Gentleman for giving way. And I just question, when he talks about investment in our country and in businesses, whether he'd prefer to have investment from our government or whether he'd prefer to have investment from maybe the Russian government.
Maybe one or two members of the House ought simply to grow up, but there we are. It's a bit sad.
You're dishing it out, but you can't take it.
They're massive snowflakes, don't they? It's always free speech, except for when you disagree with them, stuff like that. Like, they're the softest people around, genuinely. Like, the right-wingers are crazy when it comes to that stuff.
Hmm.
You did a clip, didn't you, of Farage at the CPAC? I didn't see it. I didn't watch any
yes.
of it. I missed that.
Yes.
What was that?
It was him, basically, I mean, it's been shown fairly wildly on Twitter. It's him walking up and down going, well, of course, I come from the UK, where... you've got to be careful what you say. Otherwise, they might come and arrest you and throw you in prison. And I'm sitting there, and it cuts to me again. I'm plugging my own channel here. Cuts to me again, and I say, it literally the definition of the opposite happening, you know, if only. Because, of course, he, you know, everybody's calling it Farage riots and stuff. He was the one inciting so much sort of misinformation and sort of, you know, attempting to dive in where there was no need to.
By asking questions.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, is that asking questions? Because you start off with the the premise, if you like. You start off with the turn around and saying, "Are the police hiding something from us?" I'm just asking questions, but you're not. You're putting something in people's mind that maybe the police are hiding from us. You know. Yeah.
Well, you know, are the Russians funding the Reform Party? I don't know. I'm just asking questions. That'd be really bad, you know, if they were. But you know, unless they show us the accounts of the Reform UK Limited Party. I don't know. You know, where are you getting the money from, Nigel?
Yeah, he keeps saying that they're sold out. But if you look at the pictures, it's half empty. They're empty seats. Mm-hmm. Could those seats be being paid by Russia? We don't know.
We haven't
shown the accounts.
Yeah.
How can we tell?
I'm just asking a question, guys, you know? I'm just asking the question.
I mean, it's probably not. But, you know, Nigel was on RT television for a while. It probably has nothing to do with it, but we don't know because they won't open the accounts. Yeah.
I don't understand why Aaron Banks, frankly, isn't on the list either. Even Isabel Oakeshott now thinks that he is an agent of influence for the Russian state. Oh. And I simply point out that Nigel Farage received from Russia today £548,000, £573 in 2018 alone. From the Russian state.
Yeah.
You and Vlad seem to share some similar ideas about how Ukraine started the war. I wonder why that is. Do you genuinely believe that? Or, you know, what's going on there?
Don't poke a bear.
Yeah.
Don't poke a Russian bear.
Don't poke a Russian bear. Might come and attack you. That's
yeah.
the thing that's said with Hitler. Don't provoke him. He might go and attack someone.
What's Germany's animal? They're not a bear, are they? What are they?
Germany was a two-headed... No, that was Austria-Hungary, I think. Oh, maybe it was both. Two-headed eagle, I think.
No, don't poke the two-headed eagle, guys. It might bite you.
Two-headed eagle is Austria-Hungary. I think it's a one-headed eagle for Germany when it was campaigning around the Kaiser.
But it's facing opposite directions. Is that?
Yeah, I think that's Austria-Hungary. And then Germany was a single...
Okay.
Single version of the same bird.
Yeah, so it's an eagle. Yeah, don't poke the eagle, guys. It might come after you.
Krasnov. KGB came
bless
out.
Bless you. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a nice segue. Former head of KGB, director of the KGB, came out and said Trump's handle name was Krasnov, which is just... I mean, you think you got to the bottom with the Epstein stuff, and then you go, okay, now we've got all the fucking Putin stuff. And as you said, called Zelensky a dictator, said he started the fucking war. And then you look at the pattern of behavior from Putin. It's so fucking classic. He did it with Georgia. He did it with Chechnya. You go, let's go in. Oh, let's have some peace. Syria, he did the same. Let's have some peace.
Yeah.
Rebuild the economy for a little bit. Right, now we go back in and smash it again. And it's like, people don't fucking learn. Like,
yeah,
what does it take?
Putin's made it clear what he wants as well. Did you see that thing, actually? He's put it out fairly recently where, I think in the last hour or so, well, you know, last few days, shall we say, he's put out something to say, UK has nothing to fear from us.
Putin?
Just sounds, everything he says and the way he says it just sounds like a threat, you know? UK, you're going to be fine, honestly. Come look out this window. See the view, the beautiful view. You know, yes, 15 stories down.
It's so Mr. Burns. I hate to say it, but it's take a step to the left. You'll be fine.
The big X, the big X. That's what I want to understand.
I can't believe you invaded another country and then you tell other countries not to be worried. That's a bit of a red flag. But given, you know, the fact that the Russian Navy have lost to a country with no Navy, I'm not too concerned. But
jet skis. It's all about jet skis, mate.
Yeah, but honestly, it's a bit stupid to invade another country and say, look, guys, nothing. You got nothing to worry about us. I'm like, I'm slightly worried.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I've written a book on the changing nature of warfare over the last 100 years. And I've always I get why you would have an aircraft carrier if you want an international diplomacy policy of bombing the shit out of countries that are next to water. But other than that, I've never been that convinced by destroyers. I mean, you saw it in World War II, they had destroyers, and they got obliterated. And with the modern tech, literally some jet skis and some torpedoes, you can go up to these fucking things late at night and blow them up. And the jet skis cost you a couple of guys with a bit of training and a jet ski and some C4.
Yeah,
fucking it's costing you millions.
Like, it's the drones, isn't it? The drones are really hard to destroy, and they're very cheap as well. Like, so that's a major problem, and it would cost a fortune to defend these as well. Like when they were talking about how much it cost Israel to defend itself against Iran, I think it ran into the tens of millions. It was a very high number. It cost Iran very little to do that attack they did, in terms of the Iron Dome defense and all the other stuff that went into it. Cost a fortune, like, you know, against cheap missiles, really, like unguided stuff.
The thing is with destroyers is you're making a point, aren't you? Aren't you just, you know, it's like, you're sort of like, look, we're aware that you're there and you're now aware that we're here, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a big dog mentality. Yeah, we've got a couple. I think the UK's got a couple of naval aircraft carriers, which seem to break down all the time. So,
yeah. You see that thing with the that nuclear weapon being launched and it went straight up and came straight down again and then far off.
From, I think
it was about 8 months ago or something. They were testing.
Was that one of us? Trident, yeah.
Yeah. You're like, that's a worry.
You know what I'd say? If I was in the Treasury, I'd say, how much was that? Yeah. How much?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
I think
a lot.
I think the last statistics I saw is if you launched all your nuclear missiles against Russia, if Britain launched them all, I think only 20% would get in. I mean, that's still huge amounts of devastation, but that shows how good everyone's defense systems were. And the thing was quite funny because Trump said he wanted a golden visa, and then obviously Putin's talked about this golden shower that they've got on him. Sorry, I felt I had to get that in because that seems to be the compromise. That's what everyone's talking about, going back to Krasnov and him being given that code name. Do you think he is a Putin puppet, or do you think he's just a useless idiot?
I think he's a useless idiot. Like, look at him, the way, you know, he spoke to Kim Jong-un in North Korea. He was like, yeah, you've got a button, my button's bigger, and then in the end they become like best friends, which was really weird. The guy's just, I think he respects, like, you know, he wants, you know, the guard of honor and all that stuff, you know, the dictator treatment, really, where everyone's like, well, you're the coolest guy ever, and hangs off his every word. That's what he really wants more than anything. Like, he was talking about Americans doing like a military parade, and everyone's like, yeah, the tanks won't be able to go on the roads, pal. Which does tell you a lot about American roads, to be honest, because if other countries can have their tanks rolling around, why can't the Americans? But I think he's just a moron, isn't it? Like, he's going to take Putin at his word. Putin has a very strong, you know, he has a very strong appearance in terms of the way he looks and the way he acts and stuff like that, the way he carries himself. I think he respects that a lot. That's the guy he probably wants to be. So I don't think he's a Russian asset.
Yeah, the thing is as well, he's, what, 78 now? I don't want to sound ageist and stuff, but what, 78? So he's...
Who?
78?
Trump.
Yeah.
Trump's 78, Putin, I think, 73.
73. Okay, crikey. But you know, there's a point where you just happy to talk to somebody, maybe. I don't know. You're just like, mind you, Putin's quite old as well, isn't he? So,
yeah, 73. Yeah.
Scaramucci came out today and was on, I think, Radio Times being like, yeah, Trump's sick. He's sick in the head. That's why he did the Gaza video. And you were going, right, the press are already starting to twist that little, he's too old, he's going senile, he's ill. And I'm going, okay, is that the start? That's the little snowflake that knocks the snowball, that knocks the avalanche. And it's just constant questioning of his mental ability.
It makes no difference at this stage in the game, though, unless they're going to depose him. And Paul, there's an article they can use, I think the cabinet can use, to get rid of him. But, you know, they said the same stuff about Biden, him being like, you know, like not being there mentally. It doesn't mean anything. And I guarantee you they do that. They're going to see worse rights than the capital rights they saw a couple of years ago if they use any articles and nonsense to get rid of him. Like, so yeah. I don't think they will. I think he's going to die in office, most likely. If you know, like, that's the only way they're going to get rid of him, because, you know, the guy's old as hell and he's stubborn.
Do you think they're going to weekend at Bernie's it? You know what I mean? Just put him up a pair of dark glasses and just wave at them.
Weekend at Mar-a-Lago.
If he has the Epstein stuff, and if he can't get peace deal through, and he can't get inflation down, I mean, of all the fucking things for Musk to fuck up, the bird flu was one of the most interesting, because that's the group you need in now to make sure there's vaccinations for the autumn. And you need those vaccinations in ASAP in order to bring down egg prices, which is this thing that is fucking going around at the moment. Because as soon as you got that aviation flu, if they haven't got the vaccines, essentially all the chickens have to stay inside the coop, which means they produce less eggs because they've got less sunshine and everything else. Not to say that most of those poor battery hens are going to have much of a difference with that. But that's why the egg prices have gone up. It's because of an aviation flu. And he sacked by accident. I think he rehired them, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
But you're just going, I keep looking at all these things and I'm sticking with my prediction. I think midterms, he's fucked. He's not done the things that he needed to do immediately. If he wanted to get food prices down, there is historical precedent to do that, because they did it in World War One and they basically bunged out a load of cheap loans to farmers to farm more land. That's how you get the price down. It's not quick, but it'll happen in a year. He hasn't done that. What he's done is austerity, which fucks your economy. It doesn't improve it. And all he's done is do things that I'm looking at and going, right, so you fired the nuclear scientists, you fired the aviation flu guys. Musk came out in a cabinet meeting and went, oh, whoops, we accidentally fired Ebola scientists. The Ebola department.
He said it, didn't he? In front of everybody. He said it in front of everybody. Everybody was like, what the fuck is this idiot? You know, and on who the fuck's that idiot? You know, it's just like, I'm surrounded by idiots. Yeah. And it's rather interesting as well, is that because obviously egg prices are going up, they're going up.
The egg price is about $18 to $12.
Mm.
Can you imagine 12 quid for, or 18 quid for a packet of eggs?
Oh, fucking hell. No, fuck that.
Can you imagine? That is pretty much the equivalent of what we'd get over here if it was like that.
I can see why they're mad now, but like, Trump didn't have a plan to bring it down anyways. And, you know, them starting beef with their, you know, Canada, I'm sure a country that does produce a lot of eggs, you know, they can easily probably import a lot more from there, especially when they have higher standards. You're starting beef with two countries that do have agricultural power, in Mexico, I think, as well. It's just crazy to me, man. Like, the guy, to be fair, it reminds me of this older quote about Mike Tyson, where he got out of prison, right, and he joins back with Don King. Don King was a scumbag promoter, right? And then, you know, someone's like, oh, I can't believe he's done that. Where he's like, well, he got out of prison, not Princeton. That's what it feels like with Donald Trump. Like, he, you know, like, no one said dude was smart, you know, first time around. And now second time around, everyone's like, wow, I can't believe this guy's crazy. I'm like, did you miss the first season of this? Did you miss the first season? We're in season two, guys. It's going to get worse.
The last time you felt that there were people there, he probably felt that there were people there stopping him or doing their job, if you like. He's now put in a bit more of a rush to bring his own people in, hasn't he? He's done that fairly quickly. They're all massively unqualified, but what they are qualified for is kissing his ass. That's all that matters. Nobody's going to raise their hand and go, oh, I don't think that's a good idea. You know,
I mean, he brought in Tulsi Gabbard to be head of national security, right? She was a massive supporter of Assad. America's position was against the Assad, and he's like, what's going on here?
Wasn't she being investigated by the FBI as well?
I'm not sure. I mean, she's a big fan of Russia as well. You know, he's brought in Elon Musk. He has no idea. He ruined Twitter. He ruined basically the easiest website to run by firing loads of people, trying to make it more efficient. And he's done the same thing to the American government. You know, the guy keeping him in line last time was a guy nicknamed Mad Dog. Imagine you need a guy nicknamed Mad Dog to keep you in line.
Yeah, the general.
And now who's he got to? You know, I don't know most of his cabinet. JD Vance seems like a lunatic. The guy in charge of health and human services, RFK Jr., I think that is. Like, that dude's a lunatic. Like, there's no one, I think, in position where you could say, yeah, that person knows what they're doing. They're all crazy.
It's funny you should say that, because after Musk made that announcement about firing all the Ebola department, and then rehiring them. Trump turned to the cabinet and said, "Who wants just? Is anyone here that wants Musk fired? Because otherwise, if you raise your hand now, because if you do, I'll fire you."
Oh. This shit looks like something off The Office or something like that. Honestly, it's something out of a sitcom, like, genuinely.
Ricky Gervais, if you're somehow watching this, will you please write this fucking comedy? Because it's nuts.
They could do a great Simpsons skit with this, where Homer basically melts down the nuclear power plant, and Mr. Burns is like, "Smithers, ask if anyone wants Homer Simpson fired, and I'll fire him right now." It literally sounds like a Simpson bit. Or something Hank Scorpio would say, the GOAT, the greatest to have ever two-episode run. That sounds like something Hank Scorpio would say from The Simpsons.
He did turn around, didn't he, Trump, and say, "Who here thinks Musk is doing a good job?" or something like that. And Musk just started talking. He says, "Be quiet, Mike. Be quiet, Elon. We want to hear what the cabinet have to say."
Hey, Elon, let the cabinet speak just for a second. Yeah, exactly. Anybody unhappy with Elon? You know. If you are, we'll throw him out of here.
You know what I mean? Just shut them straight down.
That's humiliation, you know. That's straight humiliation. That's pulling you up in front of your colleagues and being like, "Is this guy a bit shit?"
Do you think that was a bit in retaliation to the way Musk's son talked to Trump? Because Trump must have got a wind of that, surely.
Yeah.
Like, because I think when the kid was saying to it, he might have just been like, you know how you're suddenly like halfway through and you're just hearing him say something and you're not quite focused because you're listening to Musk. I can imagine him not quite picking up, but then afterwards, his son is literally going, "You're not the president, and shut the fuck up."
"Hello? Head of FBI? Who do I got to call to get somebody killed?"
I think, you know what's crazy? About a decade ago, people thought Elon Musk was cool. And now we realize he's the uncoolest man on the planet.
Yeah.
I think he was in a couple of episodes of stuff, wasn't he? Because he was in Iron Man 2 and he was in Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
And you've got this like, okay, this guy's quite cool. He can make rockets and he's trying to get us to Mars. Doesn't that sound wonderful? But I never felt that he was cool. I felt he was an...
I've heard the green car cool stuff nerd. As well. Yeah. Teslas were the first like electric cars as well, I think, on the market that were like mainstream before electric cars were really a big deal. Apparently, and they look good.
Grimes, is it Grimes? His ex-partner, ex-wife or whatever. You know, you've got about 15 kids or something, and one of his kids transitioned, didn't they?
Yeah.
I can't remember because I don't want to sort of get the, what's it, right? I can't, is it, it was male to female?
Yes, I think so, yes.
Okay, well, anyway, and they went into court and they basically turned around and distanced themselves from their father. They legally sort of, divorced their dad or whatever the term is. And Grimes says, "I've never seen him. He was broken at that point." So all of this may well be coming, that sort of hurt, that pain, and he's taking it out on sort of what he sees as some sort of left-wing ideology. I don't know.
Him and Kanye West do have the most divorced dad energy I've ever seen. So yeah, she took the kids, like, kind of energy like I've ever seen.
Andrew Tate?
Yeah, well, you know, he's a bigger problem. He's in America right now. I don't know. Apparently Jenrick's mad because he wants him tried in the UK because there are UK cases against him as well. So I don't know how jurisdiction's going to work. I think he wanted in America for stuff as well?
Yes.
Man.
But he's under the protection of Trump's golden... What are we going to call it? What do we call this? Golden protection?
Visa, I guess.
Golden. He doesn't need, but he's American, so he doesn't need the visa. But it's some sort of golden protection that he's given.
Oh, he might renounce his citizenship, to be fair, like, because, you know, like, he lived in the UK for ages. But no, that's this guy, man. Like, so, like, how is he still getting away with this stuff? It's crazy. Like, the amount of cases he's got against him, the fact that Romania let him out of their airspace. Like, if he somehow makes it to Dubai or Qatar, you know, somewhere without an extradition treaty, it would not surprise me. That's the big brain move to play at this point. Go somewhere without an extradition treaty. That's what he was trying to get to. I think it was Dubai. And then bloody Aidan Ross outed him by saying, "Yeah, it's going to be one of the last streams I can do with Andrew Tate because he's going to be leaving." And that's one of the reasons why the police were like, "Fuck it, we need to get this guy." Wow. So yeah, Aidan Ross.
So why did he fly into the States then unless he got protection? Because the rumor is that he got the thing taken down. The flight restrictions were taken down from pressure from the United States.
I don't know why he's gone there or how he's managed to get out. But like I said, if he goes from America to like Dubai or something like that, somewhere without an extradition treaty, that's the big brain move to play from him, I think. It's not advice, but by the way, Andrew, mate, I think you're a scumbag. But, you know, if that does happen, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, this is all just again, depressingly obvious. I want to say depressingly, you sit there and if somebody had said this to you without you knowing it, you'd be there sitting there going, yeah, actually, yeah, I can see all that. There's an old quote from, I thought it was George Burns, but it wasn't actually. It was some female comedian, which goes, if you want to know what God thinks of money, look at the people he gives it to. You know, and when I look at people like Andrew Tate, when I look at people like Elon Musk, Richard Burton on the world, Donald Trump, and various other people like that, I'm sitting there going, yeah, actually, yeah, I can see that.
It is wild to think that the majority of them have managed to make that money by doing really nasty, horrible stuff. But they've also, I mean, what Trump seems to be good at is either real estate and marketing himself. I think there's very little to argue there. But anything outside of that sphere is just, it's out of his ability range. And it was interesting because you brought up Musk and I was thinking the same thing. Like tech stuff, I think he can get away with it because you go, and that's the other wild thing about Musk. It's like, wow, he wants to get us to Mars and he wants like everyone to have access to the internet around the world and he wants clean energy and clean cars. And you're going, these all sound fucking great. But then you go, all the societal stuff and he can't handle it. As you said, like there's that case with his daughter who transitioned. And then I think there's a lot of evidence to show that COVID really fucking screwed his head over.
Wow.
Couldn't handle the fact that he was being told what to do.
Wow.
And he just couldn't, because he was tweeting a lot when he was going into work and just being like, come and arrest me. He's literally challenging and goading the police and say, he's then telling his employees, like, if anyone's going to get arrested, it'll be me. And it's like, no, it doesn't work like that. If you're all breaking the law, they'll nick the lot of you. What the fuck are you? Like,
my boss told me. My boss told me defense.
Yeah, that works so well for the Nazis.
We're back to that.
Back to that. Well, you know, I mean, but I think that's the thing that broke Musk. When looking at his tweets, he started to move over to the right because they were pushing back and saying we shouldn't have these restrictions. And there's this really interesting thing. And again, I mean, this can link into the Nuremberg trials. There's this thing of, I heard this amazing quote, and I'm not sure if it's real or if it's from a movie, but the definition of evil is a lack of empathy. And I feel like when you're hearing these people spout their rights and saying they shouldn't be restricted, they're forgetting this like a social contract. It's not just the case that you're ill and you're not really affecting anyone. It's the case that you're ill and you can affect everyone. So why aren't you recognizing that you're a threat to someone else and that we all have a social contract, an unwritten, uncodified contract, but it's fucking there. You don't go around getting people ill. I mean, in many ways, you know, there are areas of law which say that if you infect someone with a disease and you know you've got the disease,
yes,
and well, that's charged.
Yeah, there was a business where AIDS really took off in the 80s and 90s and stuff, and various kind of people used it as a form of revenge against individuals or something, wasn't there? There was a few cases of that happening.
Yeah, sorry, guys,
I don't know enough. I mean,
I know, yes.
I'm trying to see if there's any more Epstein stuff, but the only thing I could find is apparently, that Reform UK are running a former boxer called Luke Campbell to run against Sadiq Khan, I think, in the mayoral race, if I'm reading that correctly.
You mean he's running against me?
Yeah, sure, he's running against you then.
He's
running
against me?
Yeah, he's...
Does he have a beard?
No chance, mate, no chance.
No, but he does have an Olympic gold medal. He won at the 2000... Let's see, competed between 2013 and 21. As an amateur, Campbell won gold at the 2008 European Championships, silver at the World Championships, and gold at the 2012 Olympics. So he's an Olympian, but he's a retired boxer, so you might have a shot at him.
Making that sound like I'm starting to push forward the idea of having a title, a fucking boxing match. As I would love that.
It's a bit weird, though. He's talking about how he, you know, tries to help people with mental health and he runs for Reform UK. But it's like, okay.
Well, I understand he wasn't a great boxer, though. I mean, didn't they? Wasn't he the guy that put advertising on the bottom of his feet? Hey!
I don't know, but yeah, Luke Campbell, MBE, is running for mayor. Sorry, he's running for, not London mayor, mayor of Hull and East Yorkshire for Reform UK. So you won't have the honour of going against you, Alex, but he's running for mayor of Hull and East Yorkshire. So it should be interesting to see how that one plays out, I guess.
So weirdly, that that town has got a lot of family heritage. Apparently, my relatives turned it from a town to a city.
And oh, nice.
The whole football board. So they've got a huge connection to that.
You might have to go save them again. It looks like he's going to run.
Well,
and,
I mean, if he's doing mental health problems, I mean, you can't get much better than being inside the Reform Party because he's all got problems.
His boxing record seems okay. He's 20-4. I don't know if he's ever beaten anyone. Oh, he lost to Ryan Garcia. That's embarrassing. That's how I know his name. He lost to a dude called Ryan Garcia. Okay.
Tell our audience.
Ryan Garcia is like a guy who, he's quite a good boxer, he's talented, but he's also like a complete lunatic. So in his last match, he came in overweight, and so he lost a load of money, and he couldn't fight for the belt. He won the match, but then he found out he was on PEDs, but he only took it the day before the match, so it didn't really help him. So I think someone in his camp gave him something they shouldn't have given him. I'm not sure. He also had a fake beer bottle where he was drinking water from it because he wanted to make a big show of how he's not going to make weight. And so he's trolling people. And then so Ryan Garcia beat him by his signature punch, left hook, liver shot. What's it called? Third round, I think that is. No, round seven. So he made it seven rounds with him, which is no mean feat. But his record isn't that great, to be honest. So yeah, he's running to be a Reform UK politician. So, maybe he's not, maybe he's broke. I don't know. But
Who's the London guy then? Because the London guy looked pretty hench as well when I saw him and did have, he had a
beard. Is it Reform UK's guys?
Already announced it like 4 years in advance. Well, I guess
I was going to say, when's the next election is in for?
I know, it's like...
Howard Cox, I think is his name. Let's see if I can get a picture.
It's way too in advance. But I guess it's like you start getting the name out there. You don't have to promote much. You just post every so often that they're running.
Yeah.
I can't see who the current guy is for them.
Because I think they did announce. I don't know.
I'll find him. Oh, it doesn't matter. Anyways, well, Luke Campbell, if you're in Mayo, if you're in Hull or wherever he's running, just don't vote for the geezer.
Yeah.
Right. The bizarre thing is that I genuinely think that if the Tories had got their act together and put somebody semi-decent, they would have a chance against Sadiq Khan. I think there's some genuine sort of, and I know we survive with our own little bubble, but I think there are certain things, and it's three terms now. Four terms would be something extraordinary. People get fed up with it after a while as well, I think. They keep putting up joke candidates.
He's done a pretty... I don't feel like he's... Like, he hasn't done what Boris has done with this fucking insane garden bridge that never got built. Like, he's... There's a tunnel that's about to go through, isn't there? That's opening this month. Like, it feels like he's getting stuff done.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's great, but I'm not saying it's also stagnant. And there's lots of stuff that you could go, right, Hammersmith Bridge. Right, that needs to get fixed. What the fuck's going on?
Seriously. Fucking seriously.
You can go crime shit, and it's not really being developed and solved. But then we know that poverty is just on the rise.
Yeah.
Fucking deal with it. And you're sort of like, you stick a conservative in there, and all they'll do is just cut the budget to the police because that's all they've got. That, or they'll just tell them to like taser people.
Oh, probably raise the TFL prices as well.
Mm.
Raise the price of tickets.
Who can't?
Yeah. No. The Tories would if they got in because they don't like public transport. So that's probably what they'll do. I mean, I don't know much about what Sadiq Khan's doing in London, to be honest. I know knife crime's a prolific problem, but it's also a problem in many UK cities.
Actually, I should be criticising him, shouldn't I? Khan's shit.
It's one of those where the further out that you go, the less popular he becomes. The further into the centre that you go, the more popular. And, the congestion charge has got a lot to do with that. I don't drive, so it doesn't really kind of affect me.
Mm.
The big thing that he did, though, was the hopper. You know, you're paying one bus and then you go on to the next bus. It's within an hour and you can kind of...
It's the same price.
Use the same card, same Oyster card and stuff. And I remember, and I'm sure you do as well, Alex, I remember kind of having to ask for that little slip of paper. What was it kind of... you have to go up and ask for a little slip of paper so you could show...
Oh, yeah, so you can go get the refund. Yeah. Yeah, and you're like, no one's going to be
pain in the ass. There was a whole queue of you waiting to get on another bus going. You know, you're like, do I wait for that paper or do I go run into that other bus? Yeah. So
that's pretty crap.
London still sucks, though. So,
what's that?
London still sucks. So, I'll die on that hill.
Yeah, don't come to London, Madge. I've got to say,
the worst thing is I have to go there in April for this card game I play. It's not gambling, but it's for a trading card game. So I've got a regional that I'm going to. So it still sucks though, but I have to go in April. So
no, London's great.
Right, I don't want this to be a London centric sort of podcast, right? But the final thing I would say is that one thing Sadiq Khan hasn't, and to be fair, he didn't do it. He tried to put other people to do it. Is I can't remember the last time I got excited about something happening in London. You know, you sit there and kind of go, oh, that's happening. We should all definitely go to that sort of thing. The nightlife seems to be, I wouldn't say dying a death, but it's not seen. It doesn't seem as vibrant as it was. But again, people don't have the money.
It's cost of living, isn't it? You had Taylor Swift recently. Sorry? So, you know, Taylor Swift was there recently, wasn't she? So, you know, that's a big event if you can get tickets.
Well, he got tickets.
Yeah, so did Starmer, to be fair. But...
No, it's the cost of living crisis.
Yeah, I think nightlife across the UK is like, I see a lot of like pubs and stuff that are closed. So like a lot of these places are just gone. I think pubs open longer as well, so I think that's probably killed them off. But like, yeah, it's people have money in it and that stuff's expensive, so it doesn't surprise me. But yeah, at least Sadiq Khan's better than any Tory candidate.
So. 100% and reform.
Yeah,
like by miles.
Just don't vote for those two. Yeah. Vote for Alex or vote for Nico because he's probably going to run again. The NDL, Nico's defensive. Yeah, it's hilarious.
If Nico runs again, I'm gonna reach out to Nico and be like,
because
come, we'll do a joint ticket.
Him holding that L behind Rishi Sunak will be one of the funniest things I've ever seen. That was S-tier trolling. The fact that he ran in his constituency, then he lost his deposit. He saw the Prime Minister of the country giving a speech about how upset he was, about how he lost. And you got this absolute cretin with an L behind it. Just crazy, man. Just crazy.
On that note, it's always good to finish on a high. Matt, thank you so much for being on. Guys, if you got this far on the channel, please hit that like and subscribe button. Matt, I put a link in the description. If you want to see more of Matt's show, Interesting Times, please click the link in the description. Once again, thanks, Madge. Bye, everyone.
Tune in next week for another exciting story from the files of Police Squad.
It's Twilight Zone time again. Black Mirror time again. So okay. I'm going to give you both two sets of horrible scenarios, and you've got to pick one. And it's related to the fact that you're going to be down in a bunker for 5 years. Well, for you, Matt, you're going to be down in a bunker for 5 years. So,
is it a would you rather thing, is it?
Oh, yeah, 100%, but with a Twilight Zone twist.
Okay.
So, Matt, you've got a generator down there, but the only way to operate that generator is to praise Brexit for over 20 minutes every day, and that gives you power. If you say too much negative stuff about Brexit or Farage during the day, it will shut power off for 24 hours. So you've got to be on your best behavior down there talking about Brexit, or you get a Boris Johnson hologram who is fully operational 24 hours a day bumbling around your bunker. Which do you choose?
You know, I don't know. I'll be honest. I was hoping for a better thing for the second one. But as soon as you mentioned the second one, I was like, there's no way I'm going with that. I'll go Brexit. I go praising Brexit for 20 minutes and I would keep my mouth shut. I don't know. I'd go for meditate or something like that. Because at least like 24 hours, I wouldn't last 2 days.
Do you not feel having Boris Johnson around and trying to irritate the fuck out of him, like Rimmer in Red Dwarf, would
get you through the crazy? I can interact with him.
You can interact with him. Whether or not he pays attention to you is a completely different...
Yeah. See, I think that would just annoy me. I think, having watched him in some of his interviews, you know, where they ask him, I think, I can't, the ITV one, wasn't it? Where they were asking directly these questions about Brexit, Brexit, Brexit. And each time he was like, and trying to sidestep the issue, well, completely sidestepping the issue, answering the question he wasn't asked, sort of thing. And I think that would be too much.
You are down there for 5 years. Madge, it's been 5 years. You come out of the bunker. There are two societies that you may join.
Shit, okay.
There are the traditionalists. They've gone back to the 1950s.
Okay.
Everything is as sexist and racist as you can imagine. Right. It is the 1950s, and things function.
Who are they racist against?
Everyone, because they are just, that's the 50s. Okay. Homophobic, okay. A lot. The other choice is that you're in a tech utopia.
Okay.
And you have to use social media to survive and earn credits. And you stay safe by getting 1,000 likes a day. If you don't hit that 1,000 likes a day, you're chucked out into the barren nuclear waste wilderness.
Fucking hell. Probably go with, what's the consequence? The 1950s thing for the racist people. Am I going to get beaten up by racist people?
No,
are we talking Ku Klux Klan racist?
They're all two-faced. They don't come out and lynch people. They just talk.
Oh, like English people. Oh, like some English people are. Oh, that's easy. I basically live that every day. No, I'll take the 50. Oh, there's no internet though.
No internet.
Oh, what did people do for fun in the 50s? Drugs.
War games? No, drugs 60s, 70s.
Ah, people are doing them in the 50s as well.
Maybe a bit.
I'll take the 50s then. There's no way I'm getting 1,000 likes. Can't even get views on my channel.
Bye, everyone.